Welcome to the first episode of the fifth year of the SSTI podcast. I'm Philip Battle. Each episode, we take the opportunity to speak with an SSTI Excellence in TBET Award winner. We talk to them and learn more about the work they do and some of the lessons they've learned along the way. This is our 21st episode. We only do a few each year. You can look at the archives at sstiawards.org. Today, we're very pleased to talk to Baiju Shaw, President, CEO, and one of the founders of BioEnterprise, which helps develop bioscience technology companies and technologies in Northeast Ohio. Last year, they won the SSTI Award for Increasing Access to Capital, which I believe makes them the first organization to win that award that doesn't invest directly in companies. Thanks for talking to us, Baiju. Is that true? Do you not invest directly in companies?
Thanks, Philip. That is true. We do not make any investments or funding of any type directly into companies.
Okay. Well, give us a little bit of background on the organization.
Sure. BioEnterprise is a not-for-profit accelerator located in Cleveland. It was started by Cleveland Clinic, University Hospitals, Case Western Reserve University, and Summa Health System to accelerate, as you said, biomedical companies in the Cleveland area. And our focus is on medical device, biotech, and healthcare IT companies that are at all stages of development, from inception to revenue stage companies, with a goal of assisting them in supporting their growth by accessing capital and positioning them to access capital by connecting them to other resources such as clinical partners, management, technical resources, and the like.
Well, I know that the venture capital industry is improving in Cleveland for the past few years, but have you found venture capital companies in other parts of the country eager to work with you?
You know, since we've started, we now have 67 firms from outside of Cleveland that have actually made an investment in a Cleveland area biomedical company. And that's obviously grown over the years, but that I think has demonstrated that venture investors truly will find their way to an attractive investment opportunity wherever it's located in this country.
So how do you go about attracting their attention? You have to speak to people in Silicon Valley who typically deal with people dressed in their backyard.
You're right. There's always a preference, all things being equal, for proximity, but what trumps proximity is the attractiveness of the deal. And the way that we attract attention of coastal investors is actually to go out and listen. That is the essence of the BioEnterprise model. It's based on a successful model that we saw in New Haven, Connecticut, that was being facilitated there by Yale University, where they would go out and they would listen to investors and they would just try to understand every 6 months what each individual investment firm was interested in seeing. We do the same thing with venture firms where whether it's on the East Coast or the West Coast, we try to stay current with them. We try to understand what they're seeing in their crystal ball and based on their perceptions, what types of companies they'd like to invest in. Once we understand what they're interested in investing in, we're then able to filter through all the deal flow that's emerging in the Cleveland region and identify opportunities that truly match what they've said to us that they're looking to see. That makes us effectively intelligent matchmakers and then a very efficient filtering source so that the firm that's sitting in Boston or Palo Alto doesn't have to look at the 180 companies and the 450 invention disclosures that we and our partners see each year. They're able to see the two or three things that truly fit their criteria.
So you mentioned Silicon Valley and Boston. Are you attracting capital from across the country?
Yeah, it's probably more weighted to the East Coast than it is to any other segment of the country, but we are attracting investment capital to companies from all sides of this country, including the West Coast as well as Texas.
And have you found them willing over time, once they've dealt with you, to start offices locally or to get more involved in the Cleveland economy?
You know, we've been lucky that we've had complementing us. There's obviously not only a number of other great organizations here in Cleveland, but there's a very supportive state policy environment in Ohio. And one of those policy programs is something called the Ohio Capital Fund, which offers up substantial LP checks to firms that establish an office in Ohio, venture firms that establish an office in Ohio and staff it with an investment professional. So through that program, and because there is substantial deal flow, we've been successful in recruiting a number of venture firms to open offices and staff them with professionals, not just here in Cleveland, but throughout Ohio.
So how long have you been in operation?
We've been in operation for just under 10 years now.
Okay. And in that time, you've seen, the Cleveland venture capital industries increased in activity quite a bit.
Absolutely. I mean, we've gone from having only a handful of venture investors to having about 20 venture investment firms that are located in Ohio today that invest in healthcare deals. And on top of that, a number of angel funds and seed funds.
And you have active relationships with those?
Absolutely. Those are our closest partners. They're the ones that are interested in the emerging enterprises, the ones that are at seed stages of development or earlier stages of development, and have a strong desire to support their growth and get involved not just with their finances but also in supporting them with counsel and management.
Well, one thing that's come up several times in the different increasing access to capital organizations we've spoken to is it's difficult to attract staff and especially keep staff who are on top of the venture capital industry and on top of bioscience in this case, who are really knowledgeable about those areas and keep them involved in your program. How do you go about doing that?
This is probably one of the hardest things that any TBED organization has to contend with, whether it's in access to capital, probably in any of the other dimensions. Finding individuals that not only have the skills and experience, but also have the alignment of sense of mission. What we have found over the years is that you really have to find individuals who are aligned with the mission of the organization, who are looking to have an episode in their career where they are focused really on giving back to the community, building their networks and building certainly their experience at the same time, but are interested in the mission aspect of our organization to be able to serve our clients well and to serve our community well. We expect that our professionals will migrate back to the for-profit sector, whether it's with a venture firm, an investment bank, or one of our client companies. That's a natural evolution, but if they are with us for at least 3 years, we feel like we've gotten tremendous value from them in contribution back to our mission. A number of our professional staff members have joined venture capital firms in here in Ohio, as well as investment banks.
So with your client companies, in addition to connecting them to sources of capital, you also provide some other assistance services, right?
Yes. And what we do is, back to our model, we start with what venture wants to invest in. We use that to filter the deals or the companies in our environment that we think might match a particular fund's area of interest. Oftentimes, those companies are not yet ready for what we call the dance. Right? They need additional resources. Their product may need to be advanced slightly further into development. And that's where our professional team will work closely with them to connect them to resources, whether those are additional clinical institutions, management team members, technical partners, business partners, whatever might be required to be more prepared to engage in the discussions and a productive discussion with venture and other funding sources that are able to advance their growth.
So have you found that to be a necessary ingredient in this sort of program?
You can't do it without that. Most companies that you find, I think, through a TBED organization are not immediately prepared to have credible conversations with the venture and professional investment community. There's a significant amount of entrepreneurial assistance required. I would say if I look at my business development team's time, well over two-thirds of their time is spent providing entrepreneurial assistance, again, counseling and connecting our companies to resources that they might need to prepare them for the remaining third of their time, of my team's time, which is introducing companies to funding sources.
So once you work with those client companies, what sort of metrics are you tracking to keep bearings on your work?
Our principal metric that we track is how much capital or funding they're able to raise to advance their development. And the funding can be any type. It's primarily venture investment or private equity funding, but it can also include angel funding, seed funding, and in our particular industry, government grant funding to support their development. That gives us the clearest sense of economic impact of our companies on the region, because those dollars are, when they're brought in by one of our companies, are largely spent on resources or staff that's within the region. Over time, we do measure through the portfolio of current and past clients how those clients continue to progress on other measures, such as products introduced into the marketplace, revenues generated from those products, and, of course, direct employment.
So you stay in touch with them for quite a while after they've worked with you?
We do stay in touch with them. I would say that as professional investors become engaged in the company, they're able to broaden the management teams. They're able to bring a more professional set of resources to the boards of these companies. The need for bioenterprise services, entrepreneurial assistance, diminishes, and we become more of a discrete resource that they can call on when they're looking for a specific resource or a future funding round.
So what advice, if another region was going to attempt a similar initiative, what advice would you offer them?
Our strong recommendation, and this is based on, again, us seeing a very successful model that we've replicated within our context here in Cleveland, is you've got to start with where the market is. We see in our conversations with many regions around the country, you've got organizations that are trying to promote the region based on its assets. The challenge there is the market will decide which assets are most relevant at which periods of time. And I think my advice to all regions is, whether you're in the biosciences or in any other sector of technology, is pay attention to the market first. Understand what the market's looking to invest in. And market here, in my particular case, is the financial investment community. And then use that as your filter by which you develop the strategies you're employing and the specific clients or projects you're engaging with. That is the easiest way to then draw resources that are far greater than resources any one region could assemble into your geography to actually grow a technology cluster.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us, Baige. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Philip.
Well, if our listeners would like to learn more about BioEnterprise, they can visit bioenterprise.com. And to find out more about the SSTI Excellence in TBET Awards, visit sstiawards.org. Thank you.